You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get 1 full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
What are some cryptid, ghost, unexplained stories you'd be willing to share? Like and subscribe or I'll haunt you tonight. A couple of years ago, my wife and I chartered a boat out of Key West to do some snorkeling and sandbarring? Whatever. So we were 6 miles west of Key West in about 3 feet of water shelling and picking up sand dollars. It's just me and my wife in the water and the boat captain for miles as far as we can see. Maybe 50 yards off to one side of us, I notice a hard shadow moving slowly through the water. I watch it for maybe 30 to 45 seconds and it stops moving. I keep looking and a head pops up and is looking at me. It's far enough away that I can't make out details, but it's a blue and orange humanoid head. We stare at each other for what feels like a minute, but is probably 5 to 10 seconds. The head drops back underwater and the shadow takes off underwater at unimaginable speed. Neither my wife or the captain saw it, or if they did, they didn't mention it. I didn't say anything to them about it, I never felt threatened. My distinct memory when face to face with whatever it was is actually thinking nobody is ever going to believe this. This isn't a story involving me. It was actually when my mom was a little kid, so I've only heard this story from my grandma, who likes to tell me things like these when I visit her. My grandma was traveling with my mom and her 3 younger siblings, one of them was a baby and the others were toddlers or just young kids. Of course, handling 3 hyper kids and 1 baby on an airplane isn't that fun, and my grandma was beyond exhausted by the time they took their seats. My grandma chose a back row on the flight, sitting with the 2 youngest while my mom sat in the other row with her sister. Things quieted down for a bit when they took off, but as time went on, my mom and her siblings grew more restless. Lots of whining, complaining, and crying that made my grandma wish she could just sleep and forget it all. Just as my grandma's about to lose it, a man sitting behind her taps her shoulder, and my grandma turns to look at him. He frowns, noticing how tired she is, and asks if she'd like help calming down her crazy kids. Of course, my grandma is so done that she quickly agrees. Side note, nowadays, I don't think people would be so quick to hand over their babies, But this was back when strangers were a lot more chill with each other, so I guess that explains that. My grandma quietly reads, a wave of relief washing over her as the man hands my mom and her sisters coloring books, and quiets down the baby by dangling an interesting toy over the seat. And for the rest of the plane ride, everything was quiet. My grandma says it was the most quiet she'd ever had since my mom was born. The plane lands, my grandma thanks the man and starts getting my mom and her siblings ready to get off the plane. Of course, she's really excited to introduce this man she befriended on the flight to my grandpa and tell him how he saved her from a hell of a flight. My grandma gets off the plane with everyone and meets up with my grandpa. She proceeds to excitedly tell him all the details, and that he should wait with them to meet the man. After all, the man was behind them and would be one of the last ones to get off the plane, they were both in back rows. 10 minutes went by, then 15. They had been watching people get off the whole time, but the man never showed. My grandma was incredibly puzzled by this. How could he have possibly disappeared when they were sitting in front of him and had gotten off the plane before him? My grandma, worried that something happened to him, stopped one of the crew members who had a list of all the people on the flight. She asked for his name, which she had learned on the flight, only to be given this response, "Sorry, ma'am, there's no man's name on this list." To this day, no one knows quite for sure who this man really was or where he could have gone. My grandma and I think that he was some sort of guardian angel or spirit sent to help her in a time of need. I got home from school one day and decided to play a game on my computer. During intermission in the game, I would talk in a group chat with a couple of my friends. We were telling jokes and making each other laugh until I needed to use the restroom. I told them I would be right back and left my phone on the desk and didn't turn it off. When I returned, I noticed that some of the letters were being pressed even though no one was in the room with me. It wasn't a word that was typed, but random letters with the at symbol spacing them out. To me, it didn't mean anything, so I asked my friends if they thought it meant something, but they were startled by it and didn't know what it meant either. I thought it was strange, but decided to ignore it. Later that night when I decided to go to bed, I turned off my lamp and got under the sheets. My cat, Portia, was by me sound asleep. A few moments later, I heard what sounded like footsteps slowly creepy through the hallway to my bedroom. Suddenly, they stopped right outside my doorway. I glanced up and expected to see my brother, but no one was in sight. From her dead sleep, Portia bolted up, stood at the end of my bed and stared into the hallway. I was confused since she had never done that before. I tried to get her back to her normal spot on my bed, but she wouldn't budge. I even put my hand in front of her face, but she kept trying to peer over it. She eventually sat back down and went to bed. Since then, I haven't had any other experiences like that and I still wonder if there was something trying to contact me that night. It was a rainy winter morning. My father and I were pulling out of the driveway headed to school. We both saw a glimpse of a girl in a white dress, barefoot, blonde, maybe 5 years old, run around the corner of our home and out of sight. We both looked at each other and acknowledged that we witnessed the same thing. He got out of the car and ran around the house to look for her. When he came back, he said he couldn't find anyone but called my mom to let her know that a little kid might be running around the yard. We thought it was weird, but not much was said of it, and there weren't any missing kids in the area. A few months later, we were remodeling our basement and found a photo album hidden behind the drywall. It was full of photos of a little girl with blonde hair and a white dress. The photo album was from 1922, the family that originally lived in the house died of TB. I don't really believe in the paranormal. In fact, I don't really believe it at all, but I do have a few stories that stick with me that are unexplainable to my brain even years later with a more adult and reasonable thought process. The first that comes to mind is one I always tell my friends that gives me chills and freaks me out and will always make me feel some type of way for the foreseeable future. I was probably 9 or 10 at the time and my dad was in the military. We were stationed in Fort Knox and lived on base in a provided military apartment. I moved around a lot growing up and have plenty of superstitious family members. So at the time of being a child, the fear of the supernatural always existed. I lived pretty normally and then I made a friend named Dylan, hope he is doing well these days. One day, after school, his mom invited me over to their home, they also lived on base. Right away, entering that apartment, I felt very uneasy or like someone was watching me. However, as the day went by, I played with him and his little sister and things were normal. Nothing amiss, and so on his birthday, I returned to his home for the final time. When I came through the door again, I got that uneasy feeling. This time I asked him about it and his demeanor changed, as well as his little sister's. He didn't really want to talk about it. Being young, I found that to be a bit strange. As his birthday went on, I found myself needing to use the bathroom. There were two bathrooms, one upstairs and one downstairs. I went to enter the bathroom downstairs and without a missed breath, him and his sister both say, "We don't use that bathroom, don't go in there." I didn't really think much of it until he asked if I would stand outside the door of the upstairs bathroom while he used it. Things now seemed off and that uneasy feeling sank in. I complied. We went upstairs, he went to pee and left the door wide open and asked me not to let anyone shut it. Which freaked me out because it was just me and him upstairs. I was dying to piss and asked if he would stand outside because now I was nervous, to which he refused. Angry that he didn't return the favor, I stormed off downstairs, yanked the bathroom door open and meant to take a piss. Kind of funny, and it gets a little funnier and terrifying. 10 years old, pants halfway down, I am about ready to piss when the lights go off. The switch is inside as well as the lock, which frightens me because now I can't see and I have my pants down. Then it flicks back on and then off again. And then it begins happening a lot more rapidly. What gives me chills is that to this day I distinctly remember seeing the light switch flip itself up and down on its own. This picks up, now a terrified 9 or 10 year old, I begin to panic and try to open the door. I got the door open at about a head's width and it slammed on me really hard. Lights are still flickering, I open it again and go to step out and it slams on me even harder. Now crying for his mom or anyone, because the lights are flickering and the door is slamming on me. His mom hears me plea and is yanking on the door, to which I am pushing. Finally, the door flung open, and both her and I went falling forward at the force. I cried and went home. It really ruined me being friends with Dylan and we never talked about it. I remember later my mom asked if I remembered that story and told me his mother called and apologized. She also proceeded to tell my mom further that her and her husband had been experiencing a lot of things in the apartment.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.
One being that she would wake up in the night to something raising the covers off of her husband and whispering his name. I don't believe in ghosts, but that is one of the most terrifying and unexplainable portions of my childhood, an experience unlike any other. I work graveyard shift security, and the shadows don't act right. The human shadows where they shouldn't be are one thing, but I can dismiss them, even when I'm inside an unlit room illuminated by light that just reflects in and casts none. What gets me is when I'm inside and pacing around between patrols, sometimes I see something pacing with me from the corner of my eye. It's on four legs, but its gait is messed up, like it has human hips and shoulders, but its four legs are as long as its hind legs. It's got a build like you took a dog and stretched its limbs out, then flattened and elongated its abdomen. Its head is oversized, like the head of a huge boar on the body of a tall but thin dog. Like the silhouettes, it's just a shadow, and I only see it out of the corner of my eye and when I've just been light blinded. You know how when you look at a bright light, then away it leaves an after image of the light source's shape? Instead of that, I'll see that the shadow thing. It's not always following me when I see it, but mostly it's inside and I leave when I see it. The idea I have of what it looks like comes from many brief glimpses over a couple years. Once, back in the 90s, my dad's car broke down in the middle of the night. He was alone, and on a back road with not a lot going on. As it happens, he broke down right near a house. It was a bit dilapidated looking, but whatever. He needed to call someone to pick him up. He walked over, knocked on the door, and an older lady answered. She was sweet and let him use the phone to call his dad. He got picked up by his dad, and the next morning, they came back to tow the car. There was no house anymore, or any sign of it. As a child, I had an imaginary friend named DC. I can picture in my head, now as an adult, what he looked like. He was a boy covered in soot. I was attached to him, and kinda weird about it. My mom would call me to dinner and I'd say something like, DC says I'm not allowed to eat now. My parents could also hear me playing with and talking to him, completely acting as if he were responding to me. A bit of time passed, and I stopped mentioning him or playing with him. When my parents asked what happened, I told them he died in a fire. A couple years back, I had a snow globe in my room. It was on a bookshelf across from my bed. I was laying in bed one night trying to fall asleep, when I heard the snow globe winding itself up. I opened my eyes and looked in that direction, but saw nothing and assumed I had started to fall asleep and maybe it was a dream. As soon as I laid my head back down and closed my eyes, the snow globe started winding itself up again, for longer this time. I immediately got up and took the snow globe down to the basement. Years ago, my dad used a Ouija board alone. He placed his hands on the planchette, asked a question, and it started to move. The planchette moved more and more aggressively, and my dad decided to stop and take his hands off. The planchette then went in fast figure eights around the board, until eventually flying off. My mom also used a Ouija board with some friends years ago, without my dad, and when they were done, they placed the Ouija board on a dresser. Not long after, the board flew off and hit a wall. I've seen shadows out of the corner of my eye, I've smelled perfume that my deceased great-grandmother used to wear. I've seen drinking glasses move themselves. I've had items mysteriously disappear then reappear days later in the spot I had last left them. I've heard people walking downstairs when I know everyone is in their bedroom upstairs, and I've woken up twice now in the middle of the night to people in my bedroom. This last one, I am willing to admit may be explained away as dreaming while half awake. I have no doubt in my mind that in some form or another, ghosts are real. Ghosts have always gravitated towards me. I used to live in an apartment that was redone because of a fire and someone died because of it. I had no clue that the apartment I lived in had the death. I happened to choose the room where the woman passed. The whole time I lived there, I'd get shaken awake at 7:30 every weekday morning. I'd look and see no one. Go back to sleep and immediately get shaken again. Look, and again see no one. Try to sleep again, get shaken even harder. I'd get up and go to the couch. At 8 a.m., I'd get shaken again, go back to my bed to go back to sleep. I worked nights as a dishwasher, so 7:30 and 8 was too early for me. When my girlfriend moved in with me, that's when I realized it was a woman who died in my room when the fire happened. Because after my girlfriend moved in, I'd still get shaken awake every weekday morning at 7:30 and 8, but my girlfriend wouldn't. Women get changed together all the time, so having my girlfriend in the room was fine to this ghost, but not me. And 30 minutes is just enough time for a woman to get ready for work after her shower. We figured she liked us because we'd start to hear a disembodied laugh every now and then. Not a bad laugh, a genuine that's funny laugh. It spooked everyone who heard it at first, but we got used to it after a while. Then one day, my girlfriend invited my ex-girlfriend over, no biggie, they were friends. My ex and I agreed after a troubled relationship that we're better friends. That female ghost hated my ex. The room would get cold whenever my ex came by and she'd hear angered growls, just my ex. One night when they were getting ready to head out to the bar, my ex took a shower at the apartment because it was better than hers. She comes out of the bathroom white as a ghost and scared. "Didn't you hear me yell?" she asked us. "I thought you guys were messing with the light in the bathroom. It kept going on and off, I could hear the switch. Then the water goes ice cold and I could see the outline of a hand go past the shower head. No, not a word came from the bathroom. I guess the ghost doesn't like you," said my girlfriend. "You did not say anything about a ghost here," my ex said sternly. "How can you live like this?" "Oh, she loves us, we make her laugh," I said. "Really? All I hear are growls when I'm here. Explains why it gets cold when you come by," my girlfriend said. "I thought you had no heat." "Heat bills paid, it only happens when you're here," I said. "Fine, I won't come by anymore, she clearly hate me," my ex said. She never went back to the apartment. After that, it went back to normal. Every weekday, I'd get shaken awake at 7:30 and 8. The disembodied laugh came back. Then a year later, we moved out. I'm fairly certain the ghost came with us, because my roommate who lived with us said it was too quiet and the apartment door stopped opening and closing on its own at 8 on weekdays. I had no clue about the door to the hall until he said that. This is from the time I was 13. I remember it clearly because it happened the day I found my cat. That day, I returned home kinda early from school, because I used to return walking, but that day I took the bus. So, nobody was at home at that hour except of me. I was eating something before taking a nap and the phone started ringing. I answered the call, but there wasn't any sound on the other side. I hung up and was about to go when it started ringing again. I answered and nothing, so I hung up again. That happened many times in a period of 20 to 25 minutes. The phone started ringing for the 10th time, I think, and I was angry at that point because I thought someone was making a prank, but no. This time when I answered there was someone, and that someone was crying, and in the background there was a very creepy and inhuman laugh, it sounded metallic. Just after I asked how can I help you? I heard that the person who was crying started to shout something that wasn't in my language. Then it stopped, then I heard the laugh sounded closer, and at that point, I was super scared and just hung up the phone in shock. It was a minute later, I realized that maybe I had witnessed a crime or something similar. So I started checking the call record to tell the police what number was the one calling. It was empty, no calls that day. I was astonished, then I called the police and informed about it. They called me hours later very angry, telling me that they contacted the phone company and there wasn't any call to my phone at the hour I pointed this thing to have happened. Until today, I don't know what the hell happened, like I'm trying to seek an explanation to this. My grandpa lived in an extremely rural, undeveloped area in the 40s to 50s when this occurred. Every time he would walk to school in the early morning, it would be pitch black, especially in the winter. There was this huge, old, unoccupied house that he'd walk by each morning, and each morning, he'd see the entire house light up as if there were automatic lights or someone inside flipping all the light switches. The thing was, it was an ancient house in which no one lived, but more important in my opinion, electric lights in every room weren't a widespread thing where he lived, even in houses with living occupants. Another one, my dad, his two brothers, and his parents, his father was the grandpa who walked by the haunted house, had their share of poverty at certain points in my dad's childhood. To the point where my grandpa ate shortening and cucumber sandwiches to save money. To the point where the family went fishing in the nearby lake, so they could have dinner, which takes us into our next story. They were fishing for a good while with no bites. Suddenly, this random man appeared with a tiny fishing box, set up right next to
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Them and started to fish. My grandpa would always emphasize how small the fishing box was, because he'd say the man took out a bucket, bait, tackle, etc. from it, like he was Mary Poppins. He very quickly pulled in a lot of fish. Then, according to my grandpa, he pulled out a big knife and a board, cut and cleaned the fish, pulled out a big box, put the cleaned fish inside, gave the box to my grandpa, and just left. They never saw him again. My grandparents and my dad think it was Jesus. I don't know what my uncles think, I've never talked to them about it. Not sure of the veracity of these stories, but at least with the second one there were three people who very earnestly told me the same story. I have two brothers and we all lived in a small house when I was about 8 to 11 years old. All of us kids hated the downstairs. It was always chilly, which is normal for a basement, but it felt like a creepy chilly. Sounds lame, I know, but my little brother, probably 6 when we first had that house, had a room downstairs and hated it. Would go so far as to not sleep in his room, because he was so frightened. He wouldn't even enter the basement bathroom. He always had awful nightmares in that house, and so did I. All of us kids still refer to it as the haunted house. It sounds stupid to type, but it just truly had a bad feeling to it. Anyways, the incident, I was about 11 and downstairs alone. There was like a 45-minute gap between getting off school and when my mom got home, and my brothers weren't there. Must have been with my dad? Can't quite remember. So I was on the computer, which was in the basement. And to my left is the staircase heading up, and my cat was sitting on the landing between the first set of stairs and the second. It's also only about 4 p.m., so it was light out, and I had no music playing, so there was nothing to confuse me. This next part will probably sound minor and not freaky, but I get chills thinking of it. Suddenly, I hear hi starting as a whisper and getting progressively louder and circling the room, as though someone was running around. I might have chalked it up to me hearing something, I guess, except when the hi got to the staircase, directly to my left, my cat arched her back and hissed loudly. I bolted upstairs, my cat following me, and never went down solo again until we moved into our next house.